Over the weekend, Katie Katz were left shaken to the core after Perry almost fell from the sky when her mechanical butterfly prop malfunctioned mid-air at a Lifetime's tour gig in San Francisco.
Is Katie Cat the demonym for a Katy Perry stan?
Apparently they are called Katie Katz, yes.
Katie, oh, like Kitty Cat. Right, okay.
Presumably, yeah.
Yeah, right, okay. I was like, it's really jazz for Katy Perry. It's like, yeah, I'm a real Katy Cat.
I'm a real Katy Cat.
It does sound like old school jazz stuff.
Have you seen this cat she was most recently seen kissing a girl and she liked it?
Fuck. God damn it. Anyway, and then it just describes the video being like, and it malfunctioned. And then she looked shocked and then blah, blah, blah. And then they also mention one of Beyonce's mid-air malfunctions.
Damn.
During the Cowboy Carter tour in Houston.
Whoa, is she riding a giant motorcycle over the crowd?
No, it was a car.
Oh, she's on a car.
While soaring across the stadium sky in a red Cadillac while singing 16 Carriages, the car began to tilt.
Yeah, I mean, why are you doing that?
And she stopped performance and continued once the car was on the ground.
That's fair enough. It's like, hey, get me out of here and then I'll keep singing the car, the flying car I'm in to entertain you fucking idiots on the ground. You think I'm flying in this car.
It wouldn't have happened if she was riding the pussy wagon again.
You know?
What's the pussy wagon?
The pussy wagon from Lady Gaga.
Telephone.
Yeah.
It's
a bit from Kill Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Kill Bill, I haven't seen, but I understand.
I know. Don't. I've tried.
You promised me
you would watch Kill Bill when we first started dating. It's been like...
You thought you had the DVD.
I do have the DVDs.
And I also have the DVDs at Clark's. I'll bring them.
Yeah, I also have the DVD. I could go there right now and I could pull out the DVDs and be like, here are the DVDs of Kill Bill that you said you'd watch with me.
You couldn't find them.
How dare you, for starters. How dare you, for starters.
So next episode will be a movie night.
Yeah.
Where, but I was going to say I respect Kill Bill, but fuck Kill Bill.
People are entitled to their sexual proclivities. I mean, let there be a thousand blossoms bloom.
Hey, hi everyone, welcome to Shouldn't Have Come. This is a Australian political kind of podcast, and
we're critical, political, spiritual, subliminal, individual, interstitial, incredible. I'm from New Zealand.
Fuck off.
Podcast.
You know how it is.
You can rap so many things in New Zealand because their words rhyme with each other because they have one fucking vowel.
Just brutalizing our New Zealand listeners. Like, or maybe one of them, who's to say?
Try to listen to a podcast in New Zealand, it's just like, bah, bah, welcome to Joe Rogan, bah.
Wow.
Sheep everywhere.
Hi, Yanni.
Hey, Kieran.
Hi, Casey.
Hi, Kieran.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Casey.
Hi, Yanni.
Beautiful.
Yay.
Well, today we're going to be doing a little bit of a news roundup, which I hope everybody will enjoy.
Hello, main feed listeners. Hello, we're main doing feed the news. Listeners.
Hey, peeps.
In the introduction, we're now going to be saying these
things. Are we going to say all that, or is that the end?
I think producer Casey's decided, PC.
All right, PC's on it. Okay.
Share the PC police. So we would love if you support our podcast. Usually these episodes will be on our Patreon, www.patreon.com/shouldn'tacome, shouldntacome. Our email
is shouldntacome@gmail.com.
Our YouTube is
youtube.com/@shouldntacome.
And you can find my album on Bandcamp at yannix.bandcamp.com. And yes, we're Australia's most famous political podcast.
Yeah, I'd say that's true. So today we're going to go over a couple of news articles from the past, like, week or so that I think deserve a little bit of attention and a bit of an investigation and perhaps some, like, introspection.
Some commentary.
Some commentary, as it were.
Some hating.
So the first one is kind of fun.
Yay!
I don't know if either of you heard about this, but on the 23rd of June, the kind of a joke political parties, once spearheaded by Clive, any questions about sex or anything, Palmer, were victims of a cyber attack.
Oh man, they got hacked.
Yeah. While very funny, this attack unfortunately has the potential to have breached millions of Australians' personal information.
So, everyone that they texted?
Well...
Oh no.
A joint statement mirrored on both parties' websites reads as follows.
So both parties, we're talking about the Trump Patriots Party and the United Australia Party.
And the United Party. Australia Party, yes.
Which is just Ralph Babbitt. Which is just Ralph Babbitt.
You know.
Babbitt.
And you love Ralph so much.
Man, Ralph Babbitt, come over. Man, let's talk. Let's talk about more issues.
Important notice.
We have got more issues.
Important notice. Data breach notification. We advise that a data breach occurred on 23 June 2025, which may have affected your personal information held by the following entities or other associated entities. United Australia Party, Trumpet of Patriots.
Damn.
Heretofore known as the political parties.
I never thought about how Trumpet of Patriots, his acronym is TOP.
Yeah, it is.
It's we got WAP and
WAP
TOP.
WAP and TOP.
That's hot.
Oh, that's hot. That's hot.
What happened? On 23 June 2025, we identified unauthorized access to our servers resulting in access to and the possible exfiltration of certain data records. We were the subject of a ransomware cyber attack.
Damn. So ransomware. So, like, they clicked a link?
Yeah, they probably clicked a link or some motherfucker, like, got a USB off the ground and just, like, put it in, being like, oh, free USB. And, like, you know.
Ralph Babbitt's just playing golf, finds a USB in the hole.
He's just like, no fucking way.
Just plugs it into his fucking PS5.
You know, and just, like, fucks this whole thing up.
Fucks the whole thing up.
The data records potentially include all emails to and from the political parties, including their attachments, and documents and records created and or held electronically by the political parties at any time in the past. The compromised may include your personal information which you have provided to the political parties or which it has created. This could include, for example, your email address, phone number, identity records, banking records and employment history, documents including those provided subject to confidentiality arrangements and the like.
If you gave your employment history to TOP or WAP, that's your fault.
But you fucked up
what
already.
What did you do telling them of your personal details? That's TOP. You don't talk to TOP about that.
We do not know comprehensively what information of yours was on the server, but you should assume that any information you have provided would have been stored on the server. We do not keep a record of all individuals who were on the server. We have determined it is impracticable to notify individuals.
We don't know what it is that's been taken. We don't know who it is it's been taken from. And we're not going to tell them because we don't have the time.
And at this point, I just simply don't know. But just assume your shit is gone.
They took the shit from our servers and they actually deleted it off our servers as well. So we don't even know what they've taken. They went back in time and they took it before you gave it to us.
So that's basically the crux of like their statement. It goes on to be like, we apologize for this issue. We've told the Australian Signals Directorate and, you know, we promise this won't happen again, lol.
Man, the Signals Directorate get into all manner of shit.
So, Yanni and Casey.
Yes.
I'd like you to cast your minds back to before the recent federal election. You might remember news stories and anecdotes from friends and family about receiving spam text messages from Trumpet of Patriots.
Mm.
Consider this line in the cyber attack statement. The compromised data may include personal information which you have provided to the political parties or which it has created.
Yeah, I was going to flag that earlier, but I had faith that we were going to come back to it. What is so, hey, we collated data about you and then a company got it.
Now, I'm no big city fancy wordologist, but to
That's
me...
That's a lie. He actually has a degree in wordology.
Damn.
From a big city.
That's
and
me.
And he's wearing a tuxedo.
To me, it sounds a lot like everybody texted by Trumpet just had their phone numbers leaked.
Hell yeah!
Is the gist I'm getting.
I can't wait for the kind of text your mom's going to get this year.
God, fuck. Jesus Christ. Now, this might also raise the question, hey, how the fuck did Clive Palmer and the Yellow Dork Brigade get my contact information? And that's a pretty good question.
I'm asking it.
Are you asking it?
Yeah, how did Clive Palmer and the Yellow Dork Brigade get my phone number?
I'm going to try and tell you.
Oh, okay.
According to The Guardian, there are a few ways political groups can procure our information. The first is through the electoral roll, although a pretty big caveat is that the AEC claim they do not provide contact information of registered voters. They can provide, like, your name and the electorate you're in, so it's possible that this is one source of information political parties could use in conjunction with some other available methods. So AEC can give out stuff, but they can't give, like, your email or phone number. They have it. But they can give, like, your name, age, address.
Yeah, so enough demographics to find you.
Yes.
Well, I mean, remember when the nice people from the Greens came to our house?
Don't worry.
Okay.
We're getting there?
Yeah.
Goodness me, I'm so worried.
I'm getting Taken vibes right now. And I will text you a political text message. And I've it will be leaked.
Exactly.
Particular set of skills that are...
Mining.
Running faster than a horse.
I'm so fast and you're going to regret...
Pie heart attack.
Trying to fight me.
I'm going
to
build a boat.
I'm going to build a boat.
Fuck. So another method claimed to be used by UAP's candidate Craig Kelly in 2021 is using a random number generator software to create phone numbers in the hopes that some messages will be received. Now, this sounds like bullshit, but this is what he claimed in 2021.
Yeah, it is.
He was like, yeah, I just used a random number generator and just hoped that people would get my messages.
Yeah, I hoped I was texting people, but a bunch of texts were just like, not delivered, not real number.
How much would that cost?
I have no fucking clue.
Look, at a certain point, I think it would work out. Because at the end of the day, if you get all of the numbers, we are talking about a lot of numbers. So when we're talking about a phone number, there are 10 digits in it. However, the first two digits are 0-4. So really, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 digits that can differ in an Australian mobile phone number. Now, that is...
99 million.
10 million. It's 99 million texts and you get everyone. It's a fucking loony thing to do.
Yeah. So, like, that's another option, which I think is just actually genuinely insane.
Craig Kelly is actually genuinely insane.
He is. The article I opened to, like, look into this, right, also had him being like, well, if you want to opt out of things, then maybe you should talk to the government about their vaccine passport. And I was like, oh, right, I forgot about all of that.
Yeah, it's been a million years.
Yeah, like I was reading it and I was like, damn, that is not applicable anymore.
It's crazy how poorly COVID stuff has aged.
You know, like just like the furor and like you look back on it like, oh, yeah, right. This is my song about the Splanish.
This is my song about the Spanish flu. Yeah, I got a new song about the
Splanish flu.
Original settlements at the Great City of Ur were beset by herpes. That's what brought down the settlements of the first big city of Ur.
Herpes,
yes.
Damn.
Since then, actually, it's really tragic, but the first king of Ur has been cancelled.
Did he get me too'd?
He got me too'd.
Oh, fuck. It always happens, you know.
But
never meet your heroes.
I was like, never heard of that deadly herpes virus.
Never heard of deadly herpes virus? DHV? Yeah, all the girls are talking about, I need a DHV. Get me a Dyson DHV.
Yeah, I need a Dyson herpes virus. So the next option for getting our personal information, and in my opinion is the most likely, is through data brokers. Those pesky information merchants that harvest personal information and package them up for sale. Data broking can be done both legally or illegally. For example, through those privacy agreements that users consent to their data being sent to third parties, or conversely, through hacking.
Yeah.
It's how you get people's information. Either you kind of put it in a long agreement saying, like, I can use this for whatever, and then someone says, I accept, and you go like, yay, I've got your data.
And then they'll be like, I social engineered people into giving me their data.
You know.
It's like, it's just a fucking end user license agreement, motherfucker. We've all clicked I agree, we all know you're hiding shit in there, but it's what's between me and the thing I want to do.
You know. So this is a little bit of a tangent, but have you heard of Labor's Campaign Central database?
The CCD?
Have you heard of it?
No, I haven't. It sounds ominous. I don't like the sound of it.
It's a collection of voter information for campaign purposes, which makes sense. The Liberal Party has one as well. What's interesting to me is that this database assigns each individual a persuadability score, which is determined through that person's answers to political polls, robocalling, and other public opinion-based research. The aim of the score is to find swing voters, so parties can target them during election season. If you're the kind of person that gets a lot of political messages like texts, calls, email, and old-school mail during an election, you are likely in a database assigned as highly persuadable. This means political parties are going to be targeting you with messaging designed to pull you into their voter base. According to an ABC article in 2022, a Labour insider revealed,
I could see the persuasion scores of people enrolled at an address. No, I didn't mean to start doing it that way, but... I could see the persuasion scores of people enrolled at an address, so I can walk to a family house of five and know that I want to talk to only two people there because I know, for example, the kids are persuadable and the mother and father have an entrenched voting pattern. Well, I mean, what does that tell you? The mother and father have an entrenched voting pattern, whereas the kids, who are 19 and 21, don't, because they voted once. What? You got, so that's a Labour staffer has basically been like, yeah, I can go to a house and be like, I don't actually want to talk to a parents because they always vote Labour or whatever. Or they always vote Labour and it doesn't matter. I don't need to talk to them.
Yeah.
I just need to talk to the kids because they might vote us. They might vote Greens.
Yeah.
They have a persuadability score. I want to know mine so badly.
Right?
I want to know mine so, is there a BuzzFeed PC? Can you see if there's a BuzzFeed quiz for your political persuadability?
So there probably isn't because this is highly secretive, right? And Labour apparently has the most advanced version of this database. So the Liberals also have a database, but they have admitted that theirs isn't quite as good.
Because it's smaller?
Because less people vote for them? I think because they just have, because it's like done very secretly, like yeah. They can't like see what each person, like each party has. They do keep it quite under wraps. But basically, when you have a high persuadability score, it means that your opinions on certain issues are like between that kind of liberal-labor pipeline, right? So you kind of in the middle, you could be swayed on certain things.
Yeah.
And based on the opinions you say, whether you call into an office to complain about something or ask a question, or whether you answer one of those political polling phone calls or something like that, your answers, if they can be attributed to you, will then go into this database. Let's say you say, oh, I'm really worried about childcare funding as something for a political feedback call.
Mm.
That could be taken, put into your profile that says, you know, Yanni is really worried about childcare funding.
Mm.
And so when the government decides to do their election and they say, okay, we really want Yanni on our side, what does she care about? Childcare funding. Okay, what do we have on childcare funding? And they could send you out a pamphlet on their public like policy on childcare funding and be like, vote for us because we really care about childcare. And you won't get things maybe that aren't relevant, like, you know, defense budgets or something.
Yeah.
But they can quite literally target very specifically the things that you've mentioned that they can attribute to you and put that into actual messaging targeted for you.
I hate to say it, but this seems like something that AI is fucking designed for.
Yeah.
Because you're just basically putting in a bunch of prompts because that's like the potential of that is scary. But I understand that currently the way they're probably doing that is, okay, everyone who's like a childcare person, send them the childcare pamphlet.
Yeah.
Rather than being like, here's the Yanni pamphlet, here's the Kieran pamphlet, here's the Casey pamphlet. But in theory, what AI would allow you to do is be like, okay, so here are all the attributes that this person cares about. Hey, AI, write a, and then you basically mass produce this prompt, write a pamphlet targeting person with this name who is this age, has these attributes, went to these schools, and cares about these things.
Yeah.
Refer to our policy platform. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. Like, I think AI will make that a really interesting, dare I say scary, kind of thing to be happening is to have like personalized political ads.
Yeah, because like right now is like this big net, and that's like it's scary, and also you're only asking people who you can, I guess, access information about how much they care about things. Like, like I don't do like many political surveys, but that's not because I don't think I would have a problem doing one.
Mm.
But they don't approach me. And I guess that's because I probably, for demographic reasons, have low persuadability.
Yeah, and I have to imagine much the same. Like, I think, as you would have known with in-person interactions, as an example, when we went to polling booths and stuff and we're like, oh, we're voting Greens. People were just kind of like, oh, okay, and just kind of leave you alone.
Yeah.
But even then, like, even before we said anything, it's not like the Liberals were approaching us.
No,
like,
I mean,
they just
kind of
looked
point.
At us and gave us a smile, but they did not hand us a pamphlet. They were like, we, no.
No, they could kind of see, like, oh, we're not interested.
Labor's
in
like,
you.
Maybe. And we're like, no, actually.
Well, I guess that's the thing. Like, this is, I mean, not that we were talking about it, I brought it up, but this is an example of Yanni's maxim. If AI can replace your job and it does fine, then your job wasn't shit.
Yeah.
And this would be an example of the fact that, like, the job of political staffers is largely just not shit. They just make a lot of busy work. Mm. They come up with these strategies and end up hyper-focusing on a couple of very specific issues. And you see the outcomes, like the end outcomes of that in America, where it's like, there were these jokes where it's like, yeah, 25 people in Pennsylvania or whatever are being approached. And politicians like focus all of their advocacy and their funding and their messaging on a couple of specific areas and a couple of specific issues where they're swing voters. Like,
yeah.
Living in Canberra, being a Greens voter, your vote doesn't really matter. Living in a Liberal majority area, being a Labour voter, your vote doesn't really matter. They're not going to spend money trying to reach you on issues.
No, but that's why they have this whole thing to be like, hey, if we reckon you're persuadable, then you do get substantially more contact from those political parties. Because you're right, financially it's not worth their effort. Like for a hardcore Labour voter, it's no point for a Labour person or a Liberal person to engage with them, because it's like, well, shit, we either already have you or we were never going to.
Yeah.
But it's the swing people and the people who perhaps have a strong opinion about a certain topic that you think your party's platform might appeal to.
Mm.
That's where you get that increased contact, which is crazy, because like I figured we had some sort of like database like that. I didn't know that it was as targeted as it seems that it is. I didn't think we had that level, but apparently we do.
And it seems like the kind of thing that based on how technology works will only be able to get more targeted as time goes by.
Yeah.
There's more and more integration of Internet of Things style technology where devices, wearables, even, I mean, not to even mention apps or phones or whatever, that are reporting information, even biometric information, but just like even your consumer habits, what kind of life you lead, and the things you say back to companies which are, I guess, being bought by these political parties like the Trumpet of Patriots. Before we get off persuadability, Casey, did you find a persuadability quiz?
I did not, but I can tell you the top two things that showed up.
What are they?
How privileged are you?
Mm.
And which ancient Roman ruler are you quiz?
Thoughts?
Do you want to know how privileged you are?
Yeah, tell me how privileged I am.
Yeah, let's figure out how privileged Kieran is.
Yeah, I gotta know.
Alrighty, check off all the statements that apply to you.
Okay.
Kieran, I am white.
Yes.
I have never been discriminated against because of my skin color.
Yes.
My cousins have... Okay.
I don't think it counts.
I have never been the only person of my race in a room.
I have actually.
Yeah, you've been the only person.
Again, it feels like it doesn't count.
No, that one is a very specific question where it does count. Like the previous one, I agree, it doesn't count. However, when you're with my family,
technically, have I ever been the only white person in a room full of non-white people? Yes, I have.
What do you mean technically? It's literally true.
It doesn't say that there needs to be other people in the room. You could just be alone and be like, I'm the only white person here.
I'm sorry.
And that's why it's prejudice.
That's fucking crazy. Yeah.
That's crazy. When I'm in a room, I'm like, man, there's no white people here. That's crazy. What kind of part of the world is this?
I'm just hanging out with you, me, and Archie. I'm like, oh, damn. I'm the only white guy here. That's crazy.
I have never been mocked for my accent.
I think this is also, like, correct. I have never been mocked for my accent.
Yeah, that's...
People have said things to me about it, being like, oh, you have an accent. And I'm like, no, I don't. Or, like, I'm from Australia.
I sometimes mock you for your accent.
But you mock, like, my Australian accent. You're just like, you motherfucker, you can't pronounce R. Like...
But, I mean, that's... I'm mocking him for his accent,
I don't think
it
counts.
Okay, I'm leaving it to you.
Okay, it doesn't count.
It's true.
I have never been told I am attractive for my race.
Like, so, like, you're hot for a white person.
Oh, yeah, no, I've never been told that.
You're not pretty fly for a white guy?
I'm not.
You are very fly for a white guy.
Oh, well, thank you.
But I think
you are.
I think that says more about the unflyness of white guys.
I think so.
But
full
slander. You are very fly for a white guy, but you're very fly for any guy.
Thank you.
But no one's ever been like, you're hot for, like, a convict.
Yeah. They're just like, you know, for an Irishman.
You already got the handcuffs on.
Exactly. No, I have not.
I have never been a victim of violence because of my race.
This is correct. I have not.
I have never been called a racial slur.
Like, I don't think I have. Is Sahib a racial slur?
No, Sahib is no
racial
slur.
Okay, cool. Well, then that's fine.
Here's one for you, Kieran. I feel like you've been called the N-word a couple of times.
Oh, yeah. It's not my race, though, so...
Yeah, it's different. It's very different.
Yeah.
Like, you technically speaking, you have been called a racial slur.
I have, yes.
Just not yet.
It's just not one that's relevant to my race.
Sahib isn't a racial slur. I don't know if we really have. Actually, we probably do. But I don't know any of the racial slurs for white people.
Mm. What does it mean?
Sahib
just means like white, right?
Yeah, it just means like whitey in Bengali and stuff.
I have never been told I sound white.
Yeah, I mean, but you do.
I mean, I do sound white, though. That's the thing.
You've been told now.
Yes, I have been told that I sound white.
You don't sound super white. I mean, unless you do your white voice.
What do you mean?
Yeah, like you don't sound white because you have a white voice. If you just sounded white, you wouldn't need a white voice to sound white.
Hmm.
A stranger has never asked to touch my hair or ask if it is real.
Yes, that is true. Nobody...
No, people ask to touch your head. When you shave your head.
No, I ask people to touch my head when I shave my head. I'm like, get a look at this. Feel this shit, why don't you?
It is pretty good when it's fresh.
I love it.
I am heterosexual.
Incorrect.
I have never lied about my sexuality.
Incorrect.
I have never been called a fag.
Oh, yeah, I've been called a fag. Again, by my family. The same people who called me a slur that was not racially appropriate.
Oh, damn. That's how they do. Yeah.
I have never pretend to be just friends with my significant other.
This is true. I do not pretend that. I'm hitting that, and y'all should know.
Come on,
man. We are so proud. I have never been ostracized by my religion for my sexual orientation.
Well, I'm not religious, but when I was, I would have been ostracized because I was Catholic.
I have never been told I would burn in hell for my sexual orientation.
I don't think I have been told that, actually.
People don't say that much anymore.
No.
Yeah, that's very American, too, I find.
There was one girl in my high school who would tell people that, like, you're going to burn in hell because you're a lesbian.
Was she also the one that, like, threw the fruits at, like, people? And she said that, and she said some, like, real racist shit?
Oh, the South African girl. No, completely different person.
Okay, cool.
This was like a that girl was like a, like, she was like a ratchet. The you're going to hell girl is like an upstanding member of society in many ways.
Okay.
Whereas the South African girl was like, you know, clearly very disturbed and like a ratchet ass racist lady.
Okay.
Whereas the first girl was like, she was just like a good Christian girl who's like, you know,
it's hell. Yeah.
Like, it's like, you're my friend, but you are going to go to hell because you're a lesbian.
It's like, girl, you crazy for that.
Yeah.
I am a man.
I am.
No,
I'll take that. I'll take that privilege. I am a man. I do get male privilege. I can piss standing up, but I will make a mess. You know.
You know what? Most Australian men do.
Exactly. I fit right in.
Actually, that's a good point. None of these motherfuckers, they can't read. They can't piss.
You know. What's my score? Oh gosh, how many more questions are there?
I don't know. It's not giving me a scroll wheel on the side to tell me.
I'm going to call it quits on this. I think it's too long.
There's so many questions. It's getting so deep.
How many more questions are there? Fuck off.
Well,
I'm
back
done.
To the news.
All right, so back to the whole...
Persuadability.
Persuadability, Labor's Campaign Central database, all of that stuff. So why are you bringing this up, Kieran, you might be asking? Well, because the crux of the Palmer hack, as well as these big old databases held by political parties, is about privacy. Registered political parties in Australia are exempt from certain legislations. The big ones here being the Spam Act, the Do Not Call Register, and the Privacy Act.
Huh.
So,
I never thought about that.
Yeah, the Spam Act is legislation that requires organisations that collect your data must seek your consent before they can send marketing content. The legislation also requires these organisations to provide options for unsubscribing from this marketing content. So, for example, emails you'll get from, like, I don't fucking know.
Like Temu and stuff.
Exactly, right? You've signed up to a thing, you tick that little checkbox being like, yes, you can email me about this stuff. That's fully legal. They're allowed to do that. They do have to have the little unsubscribe thing.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's totally legal. And so you don't get spammed by unwanted marketing materials. The Do Not Call Register is managed by the Australia Communications and Media Authority. And it's an opt-in service that allows people to register their phone number with ACMA to have it blacklisted from telemarketing calls. So that's another thing where you can kind of like have a big old list of numbers where it's like, hey, you cannot call these people. It's like against our legislation. You'll get in trouble if you call any of these numbers.
Yeah, they've opted out. You can't do anything.
You can't do it.
Which they still get around plenty fine, especially international companies.
Exactly, which is like it's a whole extra thing about trying to prosecute somebody for it. But like, yeah. Ideally, that's how it would work. Yeah. Now, the Privacy Act is a bit of a beast, but essentially governs how organisations can collect, store, and use personal information. For example, information collected for a specific purpose can only be used for that purpose and not in any other way. So if I were to contact a business with a complaint around a product, it's illegal for them to use my contact information to then send me promotional or marketing material.
I really hated your hammer. It's like, ah, that's a shame. Anyway, here's our new range of hammers.
Can you believe it? Yeah, exactly. The Privacy Act also has rules around how data is stored, when and how to destroy it, as well as how consumers can request the removal of their data from these organizations.
Mm.
So it's a rigid set of rules that kind of dictate how you can hold stuff, how long you can hold it for, what you can use it for, and whether you're allowed to get that data in the first place for it being relevant to your business or whatever. Mm. So as I said, Australian political parties are exempt from these laws, meaning they can kind of collect anything and everything and use it however.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
Do they have the ability to collect your previous voting history? So like if I was to go in because I've always voted Greens first, does it remain somewhere?
I don't believe so, because I think like your voting stuff can't be recorded like that.
Yeah.
Just based on how like our voting system.
It's an anonymity with the ballots.
Exactly. What they could probably do is look at like your like, I don't know.
Political donations is a big one.
Political donations.
I think that's semi-public, especially if it's a certain size.
They could look at like your demographics, like, you know, how you answer things in the census perhaps and draw conclusions.
Conclusions, and they'll just like label somebody as a type of voter because it's like, no, you wouldn't have done that if you were liberal and stuff.
Exactly. Like there's other ways they can kind of access that information, but yeah, I don't think they'd be able to actually get your vote, as it were.
Yeah,
no secret cameras, no.
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess they could probably also just check your social media.
I was going to say, if you just go on people's Twitter likes, you know exactly what they want.
Exactly.
Weird, I'm not getting brochures for guillotining the rich, then.
You know? Duh.
Guillotine party. For us.
That would be a rave.
Let's
guillotine.
Let's take the top off your taxes.
Can you imagine, can you imagine the song that they play as the drop happens, but the drop's literally at the shame?
You know.
Get some Skrillex in the background.
But I ain't wasting any time on it.
Vote one above the line.
So, with the whole exemption thing, it also means that unlike with Qantas or Optus or Medibank or any number of hacks that have happened to big organizations, there can be little to no legal repercussions for a privacy leak from these parties.
Even Clive's?
So Australians who've had their data breached in this recent WAP top debacle are basically fucked, right? Well, like everything else to do with Clive Palmer, it's complicated.
What has he done?
It is only registered political parties that are exempt from these laws. Trumpet of Patriots, therefore, is protected by their status as a registered political party. But the United Australia Party, whose political registration lapsed in 2022, is no longer protected by the status.
The one he tried to get back and couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ralph Babbitt's still there in Parliament as a member of WAP, but WAP isn't a party.
Yeah. So what this means for people impacted by the data breach is well outside my purview to speculate on. But if I were to guess, we are about to see a new season of Clive Palmer versus Australia taking place in a court near you.
I'm so excited. I hope he sues Sandra Sully. I hope he sues
Sandra fucking Sully.
Dave Hughes. I hope he sues Frank Lowy. I hope he sues Tommy Telstra. I hope he sues Russell Crowe.
The USB manufacturer that he picked up.
Yeah, I hope he sues the USB manufacturer Lenovo. I hope he sues JFK, JFK Jr., RFK.
The Chihuahua with
KFC.
FKA Twigs.
You know.
Clive Part 5.
Clive Part 5. So, yeah, you know, that's the that's that hack, which is, you know, it's
one weird hack.
That has
the Australian public hate you.
You know,
it's at this point though, like because politics is downstream from culture, right? I don't know if we've heard this. So culture already leaked my data years ago when I signed up for, I don't know, what was I into 15 years ago? Air Max sneakers newsletter or whatever. That's not real.
Some stupid shit.
But like some stupid shit. So then culture leaked my data 15 years ago. Politics bought it from culture, from Facebook or whatever.
Mm.
And now they've like counter leaked it. And it's like, well, they already had it. You've leaked it back to the people that you bought it from.
You know? And the world goes round.
And the world goes round and round on its axis.
Exactly. So, you know, it's kind of silly, but it did give me an opportunity to learn about Labor's, like, voter database. And I am quite intrigued by the idea of, like, these political databases where they do contain like a bunch of like voter information and profiles and shit. You want to know your persuadability score, right?
I want to know my stats so badly. Like,
it's crazy, right?
The whole time we've been thinking since then, my mind's been going on two tracks. And one of them is listening to everything you're saying and being like, damn, it's crazy. And the other one is just like, well, what's my persuasion?
Well, what's my fucking persuadability score?
What happens if they were coming up to the house and then they saw the signage you had out the front and went, oh, yep, nope. They're set.
Yeah, they could, like, apparently this is something as well. They can, like, people who come in person to chat with you and stuff, like, they do also, like, record your, like, you know, feelings and vibes and responses and shit. So they can, like, you know, be like, oh, well, people residing at this address had these thoughts. The people who are legally residing at this address are Yanni and Kieran, and they aren't interested in Labour. They said they're voting Greens. And then our persuadability score goes from, like, you know, whatever to being, like, oh, low. So it's like, oh, we won't talk to them.
Well, actually, I mean, that...
And the Greens might have the opposite thing. I don't know if the Greens have one, but I imagine they probably do. Where it's,
I think the amount of money the Greens have compared to Labour is significantly less.
True.
Like, the Greens have more money than they used to, for sure. We are still talking, like, an order of magnitude less than the, like, monsters of the Labour and Liberal parties.
Yeah.
Because you get, like, you get money for being elected and shit like that.
Yeah. And I think 12%. Their voters are more engaged and are more willing to be like, I'm a Greens voter.
Exactly. Exactly.
Anyway, ain't that crazy?
That is nuts.
I do want to know if we have different persuadability scores.
You and I?
Yeah. And you as well, Casey.
Yeah. What do you reckon the three persuadability scores are for the three of us?
Do we think it's out of 100?
Yes.
So, and we're all, like... early 30s, we're all queer. For Labour, there's like queer Labour voters.
Yeah.
There's queer Labour, so that's
Penny.
You two are white.
Mm-hmm.
I think out of the three of us, because you're in a labouring job, you probably have the highest persuadability for the Labour Party.
True.
Casey, because you're employed, you're probably next. Because you actually have a job. And then me, my bum ass, as a independent podcaster, they're like, nah, we're not going to get her.
Ah, nah. It's
also a political podcast that, like, rips on every other side. It's just like, we've listened and...
It's like, oh, yeah, we've been logging all of this in the persuadability meter or whatever.
We didn't think we were going to be able to convert the person who wrote the three-part Fuck Anthony Albanese series.
We thought, bit of a challenge, might not.
You're not only not persuadable, you are blacklisted.
I'm blacklisted.
They're just like,
I'm
do not contact.
Yeah, plus...
Yanni, do not interact.
Do not interact.
DNI.
That being said, if anyone wants to call Labour Party, go on. Give me a call.
Persuade me.
I want to know what my persuadability score. I want to know what other stats you have. I want to know if you have my, like, 3-point percentage.
Labour, call me. Change my mind.
Yeah, call me. Change my mind. Do it on the pod. But, like, I want to know if you have my, like, you know, how many times have I, like, tripped over in the morning going to work? Do you have that number? I don't know. What stats do you have? If you're collecting all this data, I want my stats.
Right? It's like, I want to see it like it's a video game, like, stat sheet. Where how many, you know, kills and stuff. It's just like, oh, how many Macca's runs did Kieran do in a month? Yeah. You know,
it's
like
Pokemon. It's like, yeah. I want to know my IV.
I want to know my IV. I want to know my EV. I want to know my ISP. I want to know my 3PT. I want to know my ERI. I want to know my... RBI, I want to know my RPM, I want to know my ERG, I want to know my JPJ, I want to know my GIF, I want to know my PNG, I want to know my AIFF, I want to know my MP3s.
What else do you want to know?
Sounds like a JVC ad from, like, Funniest Home Videos.
Yeah, no, but I want to know all my stats.
I want to know my MVP of sports TV and...
And SVP, he has...
SVP...
Has HIV.
Does he have HIV? This is what I want to know.
I just, like, if you have all these stats about me, I want to know what you think about me. I want to know what you think about everybody. I want to know who it is that you talk to and who it is that comes up with the persuadability. And I want to know if even for a half second they thought maybe we could persuade more people by being better.
Perhaps not.
No, I probably didn't.
Anyway, that's the first bit of news that I had for you today.
That's the fun
that
one.
That was good.
If I remember correctly.
That was the fun one, yeah. So I'll move on to the next one if everybody's keen. We're going to change it up a little bit.
The implication is that this one's not fun.
That is the implication and perhaps the truth.
I am scared.
So, hey, have you heard about this cool new trend in South Australia? It's called...
racism.
Not quite. It's called Carinia micimotoi. And it's killed over 12,000 marine animals in and around Adelaide.
No, no, baby, that's Japan's most famous actor, Karina Mikimotoi. Sorry, how many animals?
It's killed over 12,000 marine animals.
12,000, I forgot you said
in and around Adelaide.
What is it called again? Karinia?
Karinia Mikimotoi.
That's my favourite Studio Ghibli movie.
Yeah.
Karinia. Is it a plant?
Oh, sorry, did I say trend? What I did mean to say was toxic algal bloom that has grown to cover 4,500 square kilometres of coastal ocean and is at points 20 metres deep.
20 metres
okay,
of
so it's
algae?
Algae?
Yeah.
Man, someone call a mare. 20 metres deep?
Yeah.
Wait, of algae. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How big did you say it was?
It is. 4,500 square kilometres of coastal ocean in coverage and at points is 20 metres deep.
That is gross.
Help.
It's just a big, big, big ball of slime.
Yeah, so for scale, an article published in The Guardian said the bloom is double the size of the ACT.
Oh, my God. There is double the size of the ACT. You can, like, can you see this on satellites? Can you see?
Yeah, there is, like, some, like, I don't have them readily available, but I can get them. There are, like, images they've got about the chlorophyll. Based from the algae, like it produces chlorophyll or whatever, and you can see it.
What? What?
Yeah. So enough about me yapping. Let's hear the account of a local surfer from the article, and I'm just going to pull this one up. This is one for me to read.
I'm so stressed. How did this happen?
Anthony Rowland was heading out for a pre-dawn surf at Waitpinga Point when he felt a tickle in his throat. He was out on the pristine water as the sun rose on South Australia's Fluriu Peninsula.
What peninsula?
Fluriu.
Sounds like Fluriu. A playground insult.
It sounds like a Pokemon.
He then headed back up the hill towards the car park with his friends. Halfway up, all three of us were barking, he says. When they reached the car park, it was full of people coughing. That was the second I realised something really bad was going on, he says.
A bunch of surfers. It was like, man.
What's it was Saturday on? The 15th of March. When he went back the next day, a sickly yellow-brown foam had been whipped up along the shoreline.
What do you mean, went back the next day?
He's a surfer. He goes surfing.
Fucking go elsewhere. You got sick
yesterday.
They have
their favourite places.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Surfers are a problem.
Dead leafy sea dragons and fish carcasses littered the shore.
We went back the next day and it was a massacre.
Rowland, who's a surfer from nearby Victor Harbour, who can now be described as a citizen scientist, tried to alert authorities without success.
Who did he call?
So the media began reporting about the mysterious foam and asking questions about its links to symptoms in humans and in death among sea life. And, yeah, that's basically his report on that. And that's right, friends and foes, this algae not only kills animals, it also causes adverse effects in humans.
Yeah, everyone got sick because they were all surfing. I guess the fucking foam from their surfboards is just kicking this algae into their mouths. They can't see the giant algae the size of the ACT twice.
You know, luckily these are luckily these effects for people are pretty much localized to the exposure sites. Meaning you'll experience short-term skin and eye irritation, shortness of breath or respiratory issues while in the affected area, but these symptoms typically resolve within several hours of leaving. Unfortunately for our sea-dwelling neighbours, the growth and death of algae results in a massive drain of oxygen from the water and damages gills. Seeing as fish, sharks, starfish, seahorses, eels, dolphins, rays and shellfish can't really leave the exposed area, they are suffocating to death.
Okay, that's fine. I don't care about dolphins. I don't care about sharks. It's fine. They're none of them.
What's an eel ever done for me?
I've never had my life saved by a dolphin.
Did you have like a bad experience we don't know about?
I'm just trying to inure myself to the future where we've killed all of these sea creatures and they're going to criminalize sympathy for anything with gills. I'm just trying to get ready for that so I can just be like, yeah, I don't like
it's like
octopus.
Oh, I never cared about the gilled freaks.
I was never fascinated by the amazing octopus and its beak and how it can fit into small boxes. No, I think they're dumb and stupid and they have bad taste and a great deal of problems that need to be addressed by their communities.
Maybe you are persuadable. I don't think the Greens really...
Yeah, okay, we'll make sure this is logged in your persuadability score.
This is purposeful. You're trying to be persuadable right now.
No, low-key, I'm one of the most persuadable people ever until you stop speaking. While someone's speaking to me, I believe them. And then they stop speaking, and I'm like, wait a second.
Like, I'm now thinking about what you said. No, I don't like it.
That just means you have an anxious attachment.
I, as always, call her out. As always, I dispute all terms that sound like someone's already come up with them. Makes it really hard to talk to me.
So you might be wondering, hey, what's causing all of this?
That was exactly what I was about to ask you, yeah.
So we haven't heard from her recently, but she's always around, and it's our girl climate change. The timeline of events provided by The Guardian is as follows. So in September of 2024, a marine heatwave kicks off in South Australian waters. Temperatures reach 2.5 degrees above average.
Oh, that's hot.
6 months later, in March 2025, weird sea foam is recorded washing up on beaches in the Fluoriu Peninsula. And there are reports of more than 100 surfers falling ill and deaths of marine life. Marine biologists discover high numbers of the Karenia Mikimotoi in the water.
Damn.
In May, the bloom has spread along more than 150 kilometres of coastline and has killed members of more than 200 marine species. Furthermore, a powerful storm causes high tides in the area, pushing the algae-contaminated water into new territory. In June, further testing sites surrounding the initial outbreak indicate that the algae has spread. More high tides and storms continue to spread it, including into Adelaide's coast. The most recent update from the government of South Australia's Department for Environment and Water dropped just last week, advising that they are monitoring multiple sites for further developments. Their observations show that while temperatures have been decreasing in shallow coastal and Gulf waters, deeper waters are still in the throes of a marine heatwave. In this update, they also advise how long this algal bloom may last. Quote,
similar blooms around the world have lasted from a week to several months, depending on wind, rain, and ocean temperatures. Nothing can be done naturally to dilute or dissipate the bloom.
Yeah, and according to the current science, that actually kind of seems to be true. We hear from estuarine ecologist Faith Coleman, as well as marine biologist and underwater cinematographer Stefan Andrews, in the Guardian article as well.
Mm.
So Faith Coleman has floated, and that's no pun intended, the idea of introducing another type of algae to the areas called the sea sparkle, as it's known to consume Karenia Mikimotoi. However, given the size of the current bloom, we don't have enough sea sparkle to make a difference. Oh. So that one's kind of like dead in the water. Anyway.
sparkle, I believe in you.
Yeah, you can't fucking get the sea sparkle to bring this water back to life. That's fucking...
It's magic. You know? It will find a way.
It's the sea sparkle.
The only viable solution seems to be waiting for colder currents to disperse and flush the infestation from the coast. And in terms of future planning, Coleman also advises that restoring seagrasses and kelp forests would also help lessen the impacts of another bloom. Obviously. Stefan Andrews is the co-founder of the Great Southern Reef Foundation, and his organisation has been monitoring the bloom as well as documenting the devastation underwater. He says, and this is another one for you, Yanni.
People have seen what's washed up on the shoreline, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. All of the habitats that these marine creatures depend on is deteriorating, but it's happening underwater and it's going unnoticed.
So he's apparently also been taking videos of, like, underwater and stuff. And apparently he's seeing, like, real fuck shit under there. Like, he talks about in the article that there was, like, a sea star that he saw underwater that was clearly dead but, like, was, like, rotting from the middle outwards. So it just had a massive, like, donut hole in the middle of it.
Oh my God.
And he was like, that's not good.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star.
As well as seeing just, like, you know, dead animals and bits of reef ecology, like, you know, sea cucumbers and, you know, other, like, anemones and shit that are, like, typically on the ground have just been kind of, like, uprooted and just are kind of, like,
And floating and shit.
He was like, yeah, it's not good down there. It's pretty bad, actually.
Jesus Christ.
I'm imagining, like, a massacre on a spaceship. That's what it would feel like going through.
Yeah.
With just, like, limbs everywhere.
Yeah,
parts,
like, it's kind
of
fucked.
Everywhere, bodies everywhere.
And I didn't include any of these for us to look at because I did kind of find them a bit confronting, but there's shitloads of photos online that you can see from, like, all the, like, coastal wash-up of creatures. Like, it's just heaps. Like, it's, like, octopi and stingrays and sharks and like all these different fish and like seahorses and like just a huge range. Like by the time this article was written, they said that there was roughly 400 different species had like die-offs, and you know, that's over 12,000 animals dead. And yeah, it doesn't seem like...
And they're waiting for colder water for it to dissipate. So what, another year?
They're hoping for it to kind of flush itself out, because it seems like from the timeline, the hotter waters have made it easier for these guys to like breed and reproduce.
Yeah.
And has also, in general, made it harder for other organisms that live in the water to survive, because it's hotter, so they're all like, you know, more vulnerable.
Yeah.
Then there's a huge variety of storms, right? High tides, storms. That kind of kicks up a lot of shit in the ocean and kind of like, you know, like a snow globe, kind of like you pick it up and shakes it around. So all the shit that might be down on the bottom or whatever kind of floats around and spreads everywhere. And basically with these two conditions where it's a really good breeding time for this organism, plus it's just getting like shoved everywhere, like blown all around.
Right.
Just means like it's able to go a lot further than you'd naturally anticipate.
Mm.
So they have had like a bloom of this particular species before in 2014, I believe, but it seemed like it was more concentrated into a bay area because that's where the flow of water was and there wasn't those like big storms and shit. So, you know, you couldn't just, like, you know, accidentally, like, pick up a chunk and it goes over here and then water's nice and warm, so we'll just reproduce a whole bunch again.
And it, like, spreads out, it kind of links with itself, becomes this mega city of algae.
Yeah. So that's kind of where we're at the moment. Is the reason that it has been so crazy is because, you know, global warming means it's going to be easier for this stuff to reproduce. Storms, which is also an element of climate change, means it's a lot easier for those, like, spores and shit to just spread, like just go crazy on it, you know? So
yeah, I mean, these are, I have to assume, things that are meant to be happening over a period of 10 or 20 or 50 or 100,000 years. These species dying out in an area, algae becoming predominant in an area, that's something that happens over such a gradual period of time, you don't notice it happening. But we've managed to fast forward all that shit, and now it's just every day, it's just, oh yeah, the Adelaide Bay algae octopus has now died.
You know? So the organization that I mentioned, the Great Southern Reef Foundation, they contacted the government about the threat of marine heat waves in 2023. And again this year, they contacted the federal government calling for a multi-million dollar investment into a marine monitoring program, but so far have not heard back.
Yeah. I mean, they're really busy with...
Something, I'm sure. The Greens are calling for the current algal bloom to be declared as a natural disaster and that the situation needs to be investigated. The state government of South Australia is also appealing to the federal government for funding to put towards research and recovery. South Australia's Environment Minister, Dr. Susan Close, said that the situation was helpless and that the bloom was unlikely to disappear anytime soon and could return. In response to the growing calls for action, the federal Environment Minister, Murray Watt, who I've written here as Murrett Watt, has sent one of his department heads to South Australia so he has, quote, the best possible advice on the situation. So not to be a Debbie Downer, but I think at this point it's a little too late for the current bloom. Hopefully the government can provide financial support for future outbreaks, but, like, I mean, right now it just seems like South Australia's coast is, like, fucked.
Yeah, it's just going to be fully fucking eroded of life.
Yeah.
What the fuck? I mean, like, it's what... This isn't the animal's fault, but to everybody who lives in Adelaide and was excited to go to the beach, fuck you. That's what you get for living in Adelaide.
Boo!
It's devastating to hear, and I suppose you're finally starting to see both the die-offs that people have been talking about, you know, gradually happening, and you're seeing... you know, mass coral bleaching and unprecedented numbers of animals being declared extinct. But now you're just getting these large areas of the world that due to currents and temperatures and, you know, extreme storms are becoming gradually uninhabitable for many of the extant species. As well as those die-offs, you're getting a shrugging from the political classes. Like, I understand the context of there might be nothing that can be done about this algal bloom, but why there isn't a riot in political spheres against the elements of society that are fast-forwarding this.
Yeah.
Just like a proper acclimatization to that, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's also very telling that a lot of this stuff didn't really matter, particularly in political spheres, until it got to Adelaide in particular.
Yeah.
And when Adelaide's beaches started having dead animals wash up, they were all like, oh,
not
we
Glenelg.
Should look at this, you know?
Yeah, fucking rich-ass Adelaide, no fucking...
Exactly. So, like... And, yeah, it very much seems like the whole situation is fucked, and when it will resolve is quite literally anybody's guess because, you know, while, as the articles were saying and as, like, the public website for the, like, environment or whatever was saying that while they are getting, like, colder temperatures closer to the coast, like, out to sea is still too hot.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, tides come from the sea to, you know, the coast. So, like,
What if this is the year where, sea temperatures are just not going to get colder for a couple of years?
You know?
And that is just the entire southern coast of Australia.
Yeah.
That'd be what they fucking deserve. Those fucking Adelaideans.
Yeah. Those fuckers.
No, but that was what we're looking at in the future, at that ocean.
Yeah.
And it's directly tied to our consumptive habits. And so that's where... It comes increasingly easy to get to antinatalism. Like, I think misanthropy is a really, like, the just hatred of humanity is a distasteful viewpoint to have. Because, like, come on, man, what else are you? But
yeah.
Just, like, we can't keep, there's no value. God damn, that's some car. I mean, that's what it is. That's what it is causing this fucking algal bloom.
Yeah.
In South Australia. It's going to kill all the marine life in South Australia.
Dickheads,
like,
doing vroom vrooms down the main street.
Dickheads doing vroom vrooms down the main street. Dickheads shipping massive compartments of fucking...
Dead sheep.
Dead sheep and graphics cards.
You know.
Like, just shit like that. Like, just a death drive, a consumptive death drive. That is finally, you know, we are seeing these mass scale effects. And this just feels like the kind of thing that, like, I shouldn't be able to go a day without somebody being like, man, you hear about all those dead fish in South Australia? You're
saying
this
happened
in April or March? Like, this was months ago.
So the heat wave started in September, and the first evidence of the, like, big bloom happening was in March. And then it only got to, I think, Adelaide in, like, May, June.
I wonder if Alfred had something to do with it.
Yeah, well, apparently there's been a few storms out that way as well, which has caused, like, a lot of high tides and just, like, shit, like, moving all around.
Because we had that huge low, like, a month ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Adelaide, you know, Adelaide has a west-facing coast.
Mm.
It's the interesting thing about Adelaide.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, it's on the...
It's got a weird little lake. It's like a, like, it's, like, cupped or whatever.
Yeah.
Like a, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's all I really had about Adelaide.
Anyway, so that's that. That's pretty depressing.
Because when I went there, I thought about jumping off because...
I was in Adelaide.
Fucking Adelaide. I've been to Adelaide a few times. I really like Adelaide.
Persuasion again.
Oh,
all
God.
These lies just to change
you
the
know,
lies.
Fuck. Got to update her score now.
Yeah, man.
Every
what's
time
my
now
persuasion
you say
score?
That.
Yeah, no one... You can't tell survey says that I like Adelaide. No, fuck Adelaide. Look, I'm glad there's sea lives dying. I don't give a shit. I don't know any octopi. You
awesome.
Think I've got any octopus friends?
Clip that. Yeah, apparently it's like real bad. Stains 20. The shore and stuff.
That's like, what it'll be red, right? Is it red?
I don't think it's red. I think it's like a brownish yellow. It's like so mucus like, almost.
Oh, that's gross.
So like,
ew.
And amongst like, you know, like the dead animals that are washing up as well, a lot of them are tangled up in like seaweed and kelp and stuff because of the oxygen desaturation in the water is also like uprooting a lot of the like plant life and shit. And so like, it's all just like washing up, like just in like clumps.
Yeah. Well, where I'm from, we had, there's a huge island that has a bunch of mutton birds on it.
Mm.
And there was this one year, I can't remember what happened in the event, but like easily like 60% of them died.
Fuck.
So for like a month, you just had all these dead fat black birds washing up on the beach and you still find their bones sometimes.
It's fucking wild.
Yeah. Oh, it was just like grotty. Cause like that would have been 10 years ago.
Fuck.
And like you're still finding bones of these fucking...
Yeah, because like a lot of them washed up like and then went back out and washed back up. And after a while, bones bleach, especially like bird bones. So like last time I went back, like I found a bone that definitely is a bird bone, but I can't tell if it's one of theirs. But people just still find like, you know, some of the rib cage and stuff.
Yeah,
and...
well, yeah, because it's just like, hey, the motion of the ocean, as it were, is just going to keep pushing and pulling shit around.
That's just going to be South Australia for the next 40 years.
Yeah, just like dead shit keeps washing up.
Welcome to Bone Beach.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a bit different than finding bird bones. So like, oh yeah, a shark skull just washed up.
You know, oh God, another one.
You might be lucky enough to find the bones of a diver or even a fish.
Fuck.
Fish used to swim in these parts, but since the algal bloom took over and took over my body, there isn't any sea life. There's no sea life.
Oh, you want a
Get
sea
out
life?
Of the sea
Not
life.
Here.
Oh,
Get out
God.
Of the ocean, son. It's not safe there. There's algae.
I'm starting this next bit with a little skit.
Oh, we have a skit?
It's a little skit. It's a one-man show, so you don't have to worry about putting any parts on or anything. But
okay.
I'll do this bit. Like, I only hope that the whores aren't imprisoning children. You know those naughty whores always imprison children. We do have a couple of child-imprisoning whores in this community. Those damn child-imprisoning whores. I hate them. No one's going to imprison our children. Hey, has it been about 10 seconds since we looked at David Crisafulli?
Hey, what the fuck?
What's happened?
So a recent review into Queensland watchhouses found that children were spending an average of 161 hours confined there. And that's nearly a whole fucking week.
Mm.
Adults on average spent 118 hours in watchhouses, essentially 2 days less.
Huh.
In general, the conditions of the watchhouses were pretty fucking bleak, with claims that some had busted CCTV, lack of temperature controls and ventilation, and rodent infestations. There were instances where female prisoners were exposed to male prisoners, and children exposed to adults, in showers and toilets, because there were no privacy screens or doors. The review also showed that the conditions were so unlivable that those confined had a high rate of self-harm. Now, to humble humans like you or I, it sounds batshit fucking crazy to confine anyone in these conditions, let alone a child. And David Crisafulli seems to be having a human moment in September last year when asked about his thoughts on implementing time limits for children held in watchhouses.
Yes, but once the systems are in place to allow that... I'll just say it again normally.
That was expertly done.
Yes, but once the systems are in place to allow that. In the meantime, my values say to me that a child in a watchhouse for weeks, I don't think that's best for society or the child. Mamma mia.
Chief Executive of Youth Advocacy Centre in Brisbane, Catherine Hayes, agrees. She says, there is abundant evidence which shows that children suffer psychological harm once they are held for over 24 hours. And the Queensland Human Rights Commissioner, Scott McDougall, agrees as well. He says, watch houses are not a place for children. Holding children in watch houses at all, let alone for lengthy periods of time, is mistreatment which must end. So it sounds like we're all in agreement. This should be a pretty easy solution, right?
Yay!
I'm glad we sorted this one out. Pop the champagne.
Get that ribbon on that freaking
Shit. I forgot about the other part of Crisafulli's statement. He also said that he couldn't guarantee that within 6 months there will be less kids in watch houses, or that there will be no kids in watch houses, but he did say that he reckons there will be less by the time his term ends. So that's good news.
Why even fucking try?
Oh, wait, hang on. What's this ABC headline? Queensland government refuses to set limit on time spent in watchhouses by children despite LNP promise in opposition.
They lied?
Police Minister Dan Purdy, or should I say Bad Turdy, says...
Wow.
It's your boy Bad Turdy.
This is my favourite one-man show.
What does Bad Turdy sound like? The Crisafulli government is not in the business of setting arbitrary time limits. Our focus is on fixing the system so children don't end up there in the first place.
Now, if you know anything about the current adult crime, adult time policies...
I know a little.
You'll know that this is a fucking lie.
Yeah, it's a fucking bullshit. They love imprisoning these kids.
We've discussed it before and no doubt we'll keep talking about it, but Queensland is terrified of young people and wants to punish them as severely as possible at any given moment in time. And this review is just another notch in the bedpost of ways we fail children in this country.
You can fucking hear them coming to kill these kids right now.
Yeah.
That's a fucking disgrace.
I mean, how long ago was it that we covered the, you know, the ligature points and Jesus Christ, what's happening out there?
Did they just do a Yui or something?
I think they did. Or it's two ambulances, like, going past each other where it's just like, well, then you all should be going
ambulance
to...
Ambulance race.
I wonder if they do what bus drivers do and they're just like, yeah.
They're just like honking, like, they're just like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, who you got in there? Oh, damn. Hope they're okay. Oh, they're not? Damn.
Nah, shit. Anyway.
Oh, good luck, rest of you. Hope they don't die too early. The fucking ligature points in prison where it's like, prison, which is a situation that when you put someone in there, you are assuming that they're going to try to kill themselves because they are in prison. Yeah. And you are not taking away the way for them to kill themselves. And, you know, I think everyone can come to their own emotional conclusion about how they feel about that. But at the end of the day, you're putting people in a situation that at least some people recognize as being something not worth living for if they repeatedly end up in that situation.
Yeah.
And they're fucking their kids who, I understand it's hard to look at the failures of society and not see and not want to see somebody who has failed when you're trying to reconcile that with the fact that you're not somebody who is experiencing what this person's experiencing. You haven't had to break into a store to have enough food to survive or even just to have the nice things in life that you're kind of told that you deserve. Mm. And to look at that failure of society and say, this is because of the whole way we have done things, the establishment of wealthy means also the establishment of the poor, the establishment of legal criminality, whether it be tax avoidance or avoiding paying penalty rates or whatever, which I did hear Labour is like trying to do something about. It's like, oh, they're still going to manage not to, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
The outcome of that is a underclass of people who destroy by their sheer existence because their existence is of no meaning. They can't see any part of society that they fit into. There's no opportunity for them. Their parents have been in that situation and now they're being born into that situation. They're born with the understanding that there's no point to all this.
Yeah. And the whole watch houses thing as well, let alone like getting into youth detention, which is already like another whole issue. But
yeah,
the watch houses, to my understanding, is where they're being held from point of arrest to point of like court date.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, something along those lines where it's like, hey, you know, we keep them in there until they, until we work out like what we're keeping them there for, basically.
Yeah.
And then they can go to a facility because we'll be like, oh, cool. So we'll have you until, I don't know, 6 months when we do your actual thing. But something that is interesting to me as well with all of that is that you can actually see. So QPS has a document that they update allegedly every day that tells you exactly how many adults and children they have currently in watch houses. So currently right now across the state of Queensland in watch houses, we have 7 children and like 390 adults or something like that.
Is that an actual number?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, so apparently they update it quite frequently. And there was a report that I didn't get time to fully delve into that was talking about, like, the length of people who are put into children who are put into watch houses.
They're just kids.
That get put into watch houses multiple times. So these are what we would call, I suppose, like, repeat offenders. They're kids that get arrested a lot. And the correlation between how long they have to stay in watch houses versus how often they're arrested.
Mm.
And it seems kind of like, you know, the more you are arrested, the longer you end up staying in a watch house.
Yeah, because it's clearly fucking working.
You know,
yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, the last time we fucking arrested this kid and threw them in a watch house, it clearly cured whatever situation was causing their criminality, as it were. Yeah. So we'll just put them in for longer.
There was a kid who was in a watch house for 30 days.
30 days?
Yeah. And now being in the watch house also has a lot to do with bail as well, right? And bail conditions.
Yeah.
And whether someone can actually meet bail conditions, whether their families can meet bail conditions.
Yeah.
And in the event that they're not able to do so, for whatever reason, you know, that's where the kid stays.
Yeah. And primarily that's going to be something that happens to kids who don't have money.
Yeah.
Who come from families who don't have money.
Yeah.
And so you've just got this poor fucking kid in a watch house for 30 days.
Yeah.
Being treated like a monster by David fucking Crisafulli.
Yeah.
I'm going to send you to a watch house for most of a month. Whole month, if it's a September, April, June, or a November.
And I find
the rest, I have a 31. Except for February alone, which has 28 and 29 in a leap year. And I'll put you in a watch house for all 29 of those days, you little motherfucker.
See, now I like the way that you do that accent because it's almost Italian, but it's mostly Caribbean.
Yeah.
It's a me, David Crisafulli.
With a bit of flavor.
A little bit of that.
I'm a Sicilian.
But you know, so...
Island boys!
Oh, Christ. So, good news all round for the whole, like, we want children to be punished.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
You know, we haven't put them in the work camps quite yet, but no. We are holding them in random holding cells wherever for however long we like.
Oh, I think we can solve these two problems together, right? You got all these kids in the watch houses, just put them in the algae, and then they can eat the algae.
The kids eat the algae, and we get their thoughts afterwards, and we put those thoughts in the voting database.
That's exactly right.
And then we know how to appeal to those kids in the future because of all the algae brain damage.
Of course. Were you an algae kid? Hey, thank you very much for coming to support group.
I'm an algae kid.
Yeah, I mean, you're not Australian if you weren't a prisoner who ate algae.
You know?
In your youth.
Yeah.
That's the real Australian experience.
Yeah, you know.
That's a real Australian story.
Core 2025 memories, being imprisoned and eating algae.
You thought COVID was bad? For 3 months, I had to eat algae for the Australian government.
Anyway, so that's what's happening in the news at the moment that I thought was worth having a little chat about.
You didn't want to celebrate the England and Ireland Lions beating the Australian rugby team?
I didn't.
Damn, neither did I.
Yeah.
That was bleak. The fun one wasn't that fun. And then you had the algae death. That, and then from there you went to the kids in prison. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, well, what am I more sad about? All the dead sharks or all the tortured kids?
You know?
But like less tortured kids than dead sharks. Which makes me sadder.
You know? But yeah. Listen. It's not... It's not good news.
Like, no, it's not.
It's not good news.
I do increasingly feel like we're charting a societal collapse. It's like, okay, we've got mass die-off of fauna. We've got imprisonment of the future. And we've also got...
mass surveillance and data collection. You know how it be.
Yeah, hey, that was the first part of the episode. What do you think's going to happen?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Much the same, I imagine. Here's what I think. I think most of this will just like keep going. So great. We'll have like, you know, more environmental collapse and we'll have less rights and more privacy breaches. And then probably there'll be more things criminalized or decriminalized in weird ways that make it more like, I don't know, easy for the wealthy and hard for the poor. And then I think it'll just keep going like that. Until we reach, like, a really cool point where it all intersects. And I genuinely can't predict what that intersection will be and what the inciting event will be. But I see all these facets, kind of, if you would, rising like pillars out of the earth. And eventually, because they're all on an angle, right? Eventually, they're all going to kind of run into each other. And it is going to cause a collision. And I don't know when this collision will occur or what happens when they collide. But I know that they will. And I think that that's something to look forward to, if not for, like, good reasons, because it won't be good. Like, it will be very bad. But I think from a anthropological perspective, it would be cool to know how it all kind of, like, implodes on itself.
Yeah.
Out of interest more than anything else.
That's the thing, like... I kind of want to know, but if I know, that means it happened before I died.
Yeah, and see, now that is the issue. To
I want to make it,
you know,
in this terrible way of things. I want it to last until the day after I die.
Yeah.
And then I want it to implode. But I'd also like to know.
And that's the thing. Like,
maybe I'll die because of it.
Curiosity killed the cat, but satisfaction brought it back.
Damn, we should really tell that to all those cancer patients. Hey, why aren't you satisfied? You'd be alive again.
Damn.
We cure cancer.
Damn.
Curiosity killed the cat. Chemotherapy brought it back.
Fuck. All right, well,
I'm kind of devastated. I'm kind of confused. And when it comes to kids in cages, I give it a big thumbs down.
Oh, you don't like that?
I don't like kids in cages.
You'd prefer them in the algae?
I prefer the kids in the algae. We're just wasting a resource.
Why don't you want to throw Chris Afoli in the algae? I mean, he's slimy enough.
Mm. Well, he's just going to slide across it because he's all slimy. No, I'm going to throw him back into the algae. Oh, it's a family reunion. The
absorb it, be some kind of anti, like...
They're just fucking cousins. Like, it's the algae. It's so nice to see you. I really enjoy the killing of the animals. I've been killing the animals of my own kind.
Anyway, we've been Shouldn't Have Come. Thank you so much for listening, everybody.
You can follow us on a Patreon.
You can. You can follow us on Patreon at...
Patreon.com/shouldn't have come. SHOULDNTACOME.
You can email us at shouldn't have come. That's the same spelling again. @gmail.com.
Our YouTube is youtube.com/@shouldn't have come. And you can find my album on Bandcamp, YanniX.bandcamp.com. It's been lovely to have you for this episode of Shouldn't Have Come, where we talked about a few things that we like to keep our eye on, those being mass surveillance, mass death, and mass incarceration of children.
Yeah, the only mass I like to hear about is tragedy.
Yay.
Anyway, there's an episode that I have in the works on Susan Lee, so I hope you guys are excited for that.
That'll be more fun.
That'll be slightly less devastating. And by slightly, it'll be a lot less devastating than some of our recent episodes where we have looked at some very heavy stuff. I do want to get into Susan. She's a bit quirky. I hope you are as fascinated by her as I am.
She's a quirked up white girl.
She's a quirked up white girl. Shut up.
Can you please try and access her Tumblr somehow?
But
I bet you she has a Tumblr we could find.
I don't think she would have a Tumblr, but she might have a Reddit. And so I'll see what I can do.
All right.
What?
I'm going to hack Susan Lee's, like, fucking information like that.
You think Susan Lee's a Redditor? Maybe. That's crazy.
She's weird.
I'm excited to learn more about her. I have an episode coming up about the Israel lobby, I guess. But also, I've been working on something about childcare. So that won't be, I mean, that won't be any better. Hey, what if we put, hey, let's get the algae to look after the kids. It'll be way cheaper.
Yeah, you know, it'll make them sick, but at least it's not gonna, like, you know, assault them.
It's probably better than the washhouses. Yeah.
It's probably better than Joshua Dale Brown, allegedly. All right, thanks everybody.
Bye.
Bye.